It is November 26th, 2021. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by NYC Demon Diva Issa, here tonight to talk about SmackDown and Rampage. And Issa, are you psyched? Are you stoked? Are you pumped?
I'm okay. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, happy post-Thanksgiving, Glenn. I'm thankful for you and Tony D'Angelo.
Yes. Oh, my God. We were texting about this. We both got sent WWE fan council surveys, and I just, like, wrote a novel about how great Tony D'Angelo is.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was like, everything about NXT 2.0 sucks, but Tony D'Angelo. I know which one our entries are right away.
I had a nuanced response. I mean, I basically said that pre the reboot, you had a women's division that all looked like superheroes, and the men mostly looked like guys waiting for the bus. Like, there was nothing unique about their characters, and that's gotten a bit better, but you're still not doing enough storyline. The tag division is a mess.
It is, though.
Got to step some things up.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. So, yes, well, I'm thankful for you as well. Thankful for the Wrestling Inc. audience. Alfred is away with family. He has bad internet where he is. He couldn't make it tonight. And that
Listen,
being said,
I can completely understand.
Oh,
I am traveling with family myself, but
I'm at home. I'm at home. Yeah, hung out. We watched movies and TV last night, and it was just a quiet evening. It was kind of weird, but we had a good time. It's nice to have a couple days off, you know? And tonight... Yeah. WWE, they brought their B game, I think, for the most part.
Right.
Rampage was pre-taped Wednesday, so we kind of knew everything that was happening.
Right. I thought it was nice of WWE to have a Black Friday sale for number one contendership.
And I like the outcome of that.
The Black Friday Battle Royal. I'm like, what, really?
I'm happy with the outcome of that. They're trying. It's going to be very entertaining. So, spoiler alert, Sami Zayn won and is now going to get a title match against Roman Reigns. But stealing Sami's thunder, Brock Lesnar's suspension has been lifted. So, there you go. Sami just can't win. Even when he wins, he loses.
Yeah, agreed. You know?
But, yeah, it was tough with Rampage. I think Rampage, because it was pre-taped tonight, I think tonight's Rampage is going to be the lowest rated Rampage ever for live ratings.
Yeah, and I think you have to treat tonight as a holiday almost. Like, people are traveling, people are shopping, they're still out with families. This entire weekend is going to be a slow weekend for viewership overall. Even I think it will even affect SmackDown.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. And there's a ton of other stuff to watch on TV. Thanksgiving, people want to catch up on things. There are a lot of premieres. You know, Disney Plus dropped not only Hawkeye, which I watched the first two episodes, were delightful. They dropped the Beatles documentary, which I know a lot of people are talking about. South Park specials on Paramount Plus.
Yes.
The new season of Real World Homecoming, the LA cast reunion dropped.
New episodes of Tiger King on Netflix.
Yes, that as well, season two. And Issa, I don't know if you've seen this show yet. I have to recommend this show to people. Do not watch it while you're eating. We watched the first two episodes of Yellow Jackets on Showtime. Holy shit, this show is insane. It's like Lord of the Flies, but with teenage girls that are teenage girls soccer team. And it's told back in the 90s and then present day. And I'm not going to spoil anything. Don't watch it while you're eating. Shit gets real. Shit gets crazy. But in the modern day, some of the girls grown up are played by like Juliette Lewis and Christina Ricci. It was very, very dark, very crazy show. But
you're not the first person to mention it, so I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, if you just want to see, like, because you think, oh, teen show melodrama, no. Freaking goes there. So yeah, it's been a good week for TV, and I feel like coming at the end of that, it's a little tough tonight with SmackDown. The audience was excited. Jeff Hardy seemed like he was going to get a hometown win. That did not happen.
Ugh.
You know what I loved, just before I forget it? I love the backstage reaction that the Usos and Roman seemed delighted that Sami won.
Yeah. He was laughing. Easy work.
Yeah. Well, and I think they game recognize game, Issa. I think they appreciate, you know.
Is that what it is?
His strategy, the way he got through it.
Maybe. Yeah. I appreciated it too. But we should talk about Rampage first, just to get it out.
Okay, let's talk about Rampage first. Rampage tonight, we opened with Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta versus Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. So in this match, Bobby Fish and Adam Cole got the win. What did you think of this? And, you know, we've been saying this, why aren't the best friends having segments where they're having sleepovers yet? I think this is really lacking.
I think a good sleepover segment, especially in AEW television, where they go there with some of their segments, like, you know, not necessarily wrestling related or sports entertainment. I think that will like really get over. I really want to see Adam Cole do a little bit more. Now, this is a pre-tape Rampage. I don't know how much power we're putting behind Rampage, you know, based on the numbers that it's doing. But I just really want to see Adam Cole just do a little bit more. And maybe it's because we just saw him with the Undisputed Era, you know, being with Bobby Fish in AEW television just feels like a whole lot of the same of what he was doing in the past. And that's just me nitpicking. I really like Adam Cole. And I thought this match was a fun opener. But I just feel like out of the people that debuted at All Out, Adam Cole has the least momentum going for himself right now. Like, you look at CM Punk, he's in this magical feud with MJF right now. Bryan Danielson is the number one contender, and Adam Cole is wrestling Orange Cassidy. You know what I mean?
Let me be really real with this, and this might be controversial, but...
Oh, no, Glenn, please.
Bobby Fish needs to be with Adam Cole. Adam Cole does not need to be with Bobby Fish. And in fact, aside from doing his friend a solid, I feel like this is regressive. This is not him charting new territory and making a name for himself. This is taking a step backward, even from where he was on NXT, because he moved on from Undisputed Era. I feel like this is just a lesser version of that. I don't know. There's 50% of the Undisputed Era. And two, we've seen it before. You know, it's like when a wrestler would go to TNA and essentially just rehash their WWE storylines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It feels very like what we've seen Adam Cole do. And this isn't, and I get your point about Bobby Fish too, but this isn't even a Bobby Fish thing. It's just like, he's again in a faction, even with the Elite, you're in a faction, you're not really winning matches. Like, and maybe I'm just not being patient enough, but I just remember the hype when he showed up in Chicago at All Out. And it just feels like you're not doing a lot with him. And a lot of the matches that he's been on, they've lost. They lost at the pay-per-view. He didn't take the pin, but his team lost. You know what I mean? So maybe I get it. We cannot push everybody at the same time, but you now have a babyface TNT champion. You know, you can put him in a singles feud that could be significant. Is all I'm saying.
I mean, this was a good match, but yeah, just kind of...
It was a fun opener, and I'm just nitpicking about, like, you know, Adam Cole's journey in AEW so far, but I'm not going to jump to conclusions just because I feel that AEW does a good job at turning people around. They did it with Miro, Eddie Kingston. There's a few people that started a little in AEW, and right now they're some of my favorite characters. So we'll see where it goes, but right now it just doesn't feel like I'm getting a different Adam Cole. He just, like, wearing a different outfit or coming out to a different entrance song, but it's just the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I think that Adam Cole is a superstar, tons of potential, and I know, give it time. But no, it's like when they're setting him up in a tag team, you know, and who knows who else might be joining him in the near future, it just kind of seems like a rerun.
Yeah, and we just see him being in a faction for so long. And I did like the breakup of the Undisputed Era just because they ran NXT for so long, it felt like, you know, but I didn't feel like it was as efficient as like Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and now with the possibility of Kyle O'Reilly not re-signing and coming over, it's like, are we just going to rename them something else and put them together again? Then it's just going to be just more of the same. And it's okay, not everybody. AEW is very stacked right now. And we have so many favorites that I understand that not everybody can be the number one guy. But I just wish it was a more, just a more interesting storyline. There's a lot of one-on-one storylines, even tag team storylines that you can do with him, you know, that don't feel like the same story, just retold differently.
And that's the thing. So, I mean, I think that's part of the problem too much when, we've talked about this with AEW before, but if the wrestlers have too much power and no one's telling them no, they want to work with their friends and they want to do what makes them laugh sometimes or what they find interesting. And sometimes that's great. Sometimes that's golden. Other times it can be, you know, not as amusing to people that are not in the hardcore fan base.
Right.
You know, and by the way, that goes for everyone. You know, you see that when actors want to work together on a project, when musicians want to tour together, and you're just kind of like, this is kind of weird pairing. It's like, no, they're friends, they're doing it. And you're like, okay, I guess we'll roll with it. But Tony Nese cut a promo, and he's going to challenge for the TMT championship against Sammy Guevara. See, I feel like the Tony Nese seems like he needs to make a name and establish himself here, because if you think about Tony Nese's run in WWE, well, you don't think about it, because what did he do? What happened?
Right. Yeah.
Was he Cruiserweight champion?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He was. Didn't he win a... Am I confusing him? I thought he won at WrestleMania.
Maybe. But see, if I told you that he...
In the pre-show.
If I told you that he was or that he wasn't, you might believe it either way, because that's how memorable it was.
Right. I know he held the Cruiserweight title. I don't know that he held it for very long. But, you know... I don't know. But I thought this promo was fun. I like his attitude, and I'm not a big Guevara fan. I like him. I think he's great in the ring, but he hasn't been on top of my top five favorite AEW wrestlers, right? But when he came up to Tony Nese and he's like, you haven't done shit around here. I love that, because Sammy is somebody that can say that. He's been here since day one. And he was like, it's an open challenge. I challenge you. And seeing Sammy said, okay, I accept, just being so fearless to defend the title, which TNT title is kind of like their TV title, right? So I really appreciate for being a, you know, I get it, he's a babyface, so of course he's going to accept. But it just make him seem very badass, in my opinion.
No, I thought it was good. And here's the thing, Mac Radio in the chat saying, like, well, we said the same thing about Punk a few weeks ago, and now he's arguably in the biggest feud in AEW.
Yes.
I think it's AEW listens. And I think that when they do stuff, when they book matches or feuds, that people are just kind of like, eh, I don't know. This is why as fans, it's important to speak your mind about these things.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they waited. I'm glad that they waited. But this is like the second that CM Punk showed up, that's what I wanted. I wanted CM Punk and MJF, because I knew we were going to get the magic that we got on Wednesday in their one-on-one promo. 20 minutes, let them talk for 2 hours. It was amazing, and that's why people wanted to see it. So they listen, and it's delivering. But yeah, I agree. For a little while there, I didn't think that CM Punk was being interesting, but, you know, just to counter that point a little bit, I thought his feud with Eddie Kingston was good, and I loved their promo battles as well, and that's what he did before this. So CM Punk has been positioned slightly more interesting than Adam Cole.
When we look back on the history of CM Punk and AEW, Eddie Kingston will be the turning point.
Yeah.
For when
exactly. Because look at where he's at now, and who knows if he tries to go after the world championship after this. Because you can't forget at Full Gear when he won, he started pointing at his way. So at some point, he's going to go for that.
Sean Wiley, $5 super chat, saying, don't worry, Issa, that charismatic ratings magnet Kyle O'Reilly is headed to AEW. So is Kevin Owens too, I believe. So Adam Cole will get help.
Okay, I don't mind seeing Adam Cole with a Kevin Owens, but Kyle O'Reilly, Sean, come on. I hope that was sarcasm. But you guys know I'm here on Tuesdays too, so you guys already know how I feel about Kyle O'Reilly.
It's very interesting. Some people look at Undisputed, and I have to remind myself of this, right? I've always seen most of Undisputed Era as like Adam Cole's backing band, but some people look at them.
It was Adam Cole's show.
But some people look at them like they're the members of Kiss or something, and they're just like each one's its own individual character. And I'm like, really? Tell me who, you know, Roderick Strong's character is, because I'm still not sure of that.
No.
It's been like four years.
The only other person that stuck out to me in the Undisputed Era was Roderick Strong, and it was because he joined later on. Yeah. So he was the only one that I always remember. But to me, it was the Adam Cole show, honestly, and they were just his buddies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what'd you think of this FTR segment that they had?
Yeah.
Lucha Brothers. to step up again for a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're going to fight each other forever, and that's okay because they put on some amazing matches, and I'm looking forward to this, right? But I personally really want to see other tag teams start getting in the tag team title picture, but because the AAA titles are involved here, I guess we're just going to continue to see AAA versus the Lucha Bros. Listen, they can wrestle, they can go. Am I interested? Not at the moment. I want to see Santana and Ortiz get a title shot. I want to see Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus start getting involved in the tag title picture. So there's a couple of people that I want to see the Lucha Bros start going up against.
Yeah.
Other than FTR.
I agree with that. So, Black Friday match. What do we call this? The Black Friday deal match. Britt Baker challenged by Rio. And if Rio wins, she gets a title shot. And Rio...
I'm so pissed off.
Rio won.
I'm so pissed off.
It was a good match, though.
Yeah, of course it was a good match. It's Rio and Britt Baker we're talking about. But I feel like AEW booked themselves into this position because there's nobody for Britt Baker. Do a number one contenders. Do a battle royal. Do another tournament. Do anything that doesn't involve pinning probably one or if not your biggest star at the moment on television.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of seeing Britt Baker getting pinned. It felt very, I didn't like it. That's all.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. I don't think Rio's winning.
Of course not. But did you need to pin your champion to get to her being number one contender? Couldn't you do some kind of tournament on Dark or Elevation? I don't know. You could have gotten to Rio becoming number one contender a different way. Like, Dave Conti attacked her, and that's how she got the match. Like, we didn't have to pin Britt Baker.
And this is a completely ignorant statement by someone that doesn't watch a lot of AEW, but this is what it feels like from the pay-per-views and watching Rampage and what I've seen. It feels like they get sold on the idea that this is the woman that we're going to build to beat Britt Baker or being a contender. And maybe it's Ruby Soho. Maybe it's Chris Statlander. Like they get, you know, they get these short-term pushes. Right. And then what this is the failing of it. Now I know you're saying, well, of course they're pushing them because they need to build up the match. But then after they lose, like, okay, well, you didn't take this push and continue it and give them a meaningful story to make them a star even without the championship. Instead, you're just on to the next one.
Yes, agreed.
It's a little crazy because I think that they really need to have more women's storylines. It's just crazy. And, you know, we're talking about this earlier. I mean,
There's nobody for Britt Baker. And there's nobody believable to beat Britt Baker, right?
Nobody.
You think that Sami Zayn is going to beat Roman Reigns? No.
It could happen.
But you got to him.
You got to believe.
Yeah, okay.
You got to believe.
He got to him becoming
Mark
number
said
one.
It. You got to believe.
He got to him becoming number one contender because he snuck his way into a victory of a battle royal. You could have done that with Riho. You know what I mean? You could have put a different stipulation on the TBS title tournament to whoever comes in second gets a title shot. You could have done so much that didn't involve pinning Britt Baker. That's all.
I think it's bad for any wrestling company, and this is WWE as well on SmackDown. If you have a champion that you can't tell me three people who are next in line to beat that champion, you don't have a very good roster in that division. And this goes
right.
for tag
and
teams,
I do
men,
think
singles,
that
whatever.
AEW has. I think AEW has somewhat of a decent women's division. The problem is that they put everybody else that will be somewhat believable on this TBS title tournament. Everybody that I think could be a little bit believable against Britt Baker is still involved in this TBS title
That's true.
Tournament.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see.
I think Thunder Rosa is the one because Thunder Rosa beat her at that Lights Out match. I think Thunder Rosa is the one, and they're going to save it for a pay-per-view or just a little bit later on because maybe they do want to go through with Thunder Rosa, so they don't want to do it yet because they want Britt Baker to have a long title reign.
Love Thunder Rosa. Love to see her get
Me
that
too.
Opportunity. Eddie Kingston took on Daniel Garcia tonight.
Love the interview before the match.
Eddie is so great.
Eddie is a badass. He's as real as it gets. And how can you not love Eddie Kingston? Just the way he comes off.
It was a really good match, and I'm really glad he got this win.
It was. Me too. Me too. I think that he needed it, right? And it was great to see him win. I mean, I really wanted him to be the person that defeat CM Punk. But seeing where CM Punk went after Eddie Kingston, it makes all the sense that they let, you know, Punk go over. But Eddie Kingston is just, listen, as a New Yorker, I just absolutely love him. He comes off so real to me, like legit. And that's just something that I appreciate about him. And then in the ring, he just wrestles a little bit differently, but it's believable. You think that he is kicking somebody's ass, right?
Oh, yeah. But there's a realness to his fights.
Right, right. I love his attitude. Like the pre-show interview was so funny. Everything that he's been doing has been great. And I'm just a fan. And I love seeing the crowd reaction for Kingston because sometimes, you know, we try to be unbiased about our opinion, but you know, you start really liking someone. But every time I go to an AEW live and I hear the crowd reaction for Kingston, I just love hearing this. It's like collectively, everybody freaking loves Eddie Kingston.
I think if you can watch a wrestling program and not have a bias towards wrestlers that you love, the company is not doing a very good job.
Correct. But you know, I try my best to look at it from every perspective, you know, but there's just Eddie Kingston does no wrong in my eyes. Even when he was panicking over sparklers, I was still trying to defend him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Daniel Garcia is good, but come on. I mean, we knew Eddie was winning this match tonight.
Yeah. And he needs a couple of big wins just to build himself back up.
So solid show went by quickly.
You forgot to mention that Chris Jericho saved him at the end when 2.0 attacked him.
Yes, 2.0 attacked
Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho left commentary, which was beautiful. Actually, I think Chris Jericho's getting a lot better at commentary. He doesn't scream as much as he used to in the beginning. But
Chris is calm down.
It was just fun to see him come to Eddie's rescue.
I think you think next week we get a 2.0 versus Jericho and Eddie tagging together?
Possibly, and I don't know that I will hate it.
No, come on, Jericho.
Imagine like Jericho's rock star larger than life persona against with Eddie's realness. Like actually I could see some fun promos like between the two of them, like backstage or whatever.
No, I absolutely think so. And I think I'm becoming Jericho and MJF were gold together. I would like to see Jericho trying to leech off Eddie's street cred and being like, yeah, guys like you and me, you know, we're from the streets. You know, we keep it real.
I can see Eddie going, oh, yeah.
And then Jericho gets into his limo, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. This rock star larger than life persona with this guy who's as real as it gets. They could really, really make some magic happen. Actually, Jericho is very good at what he does. And he makes this magic happen with everyone. So he'll make it work.
As DX Vex saying, we might be getting more Jericho on commentary with JR taking some time off to deal with the medical issue. JR, we wish him the very best. And well wishes to Jessie Davin, Jessie the Buckeye, who you know on Twitter for her reaction videos. If you've been following, I mean, just such a heartbreaking story with everything she's been dealing with. But at Wrestling Inc., we definitely wish her the very best. And she is such a great person. I had a great time with her. We went to All Out. In Chicago, she was doing some work for one of the companies that my agency represents, and I got to know her a little bit, and just such a great person, positive member of the community.
Close friend of mine. I've been texting her and checking on her every day, and best wishes go out to her. She's gonna pull through this. She's a strong woman, and she has two babies waiting for her. So
absolutely. Sean Wiley, $5, saying, firing shots. I guarantee y'all the best feud in AEW. Better than CM Punk versus MJF will be the Elite versus a reformed Undisputed Era in AEW. I guarantee it. It's totally coming 100.
I mean, okay. I think they will have an amazing match and I think it will be good, but then they need to just do it. You know, I right now the MJF and CM Punk segment is my favorite segment of All Out in AEW. I loved everything that they did. It went above and beyond expectations. So there is a big bar set for people feuding and cutting promos on each other now after these two guys did that. And that was just their first opportunity to go at each other. We'll see how long they do this for.
No, I think for about 500,000 people, the AEW versus Undisputed Era will be like Christmas and their birthday rolled into one. But I
500,000 people, you mean the Rampage viewership?
I mean the core AEW audience, right? There are 500,000 people that are just like, tonight Chris Jericho is going to share his favorite recipes and Tony Khan is going to give a list of everything he'd like to be recognized for contributing
and
to
watch.
Professional
and
wrestling. Yes.
Shut up. You said that so smooth too that it takes me a second to hear it.
But 500,000 people will tune in for that. They'll tune in for anything at this point. You know?
Agreed. I think Undisputed Era reforming AEW against the Elite, right? The heart and soul and founders of AEW could be fun. I do. And I can't wait to hear the Elite tell how they beat them in NXT in the ratings and all that. Yeah, it will be fun.
Sure.
I don't know that it will be the best of all time. I think we're witnessing the best of all time right now. Maybe I'm overhyping Punk and MJF, but it was just, it was an amazing segment. You guys can check out my reaction on my YouTube channel.
Very cool. So
let's plug.
Hey, no, it's all good. You know, for me, I need more outlets. I need more outlets to share my views. I have this podcast and I have Twitter, and I feel like I have to watch what I say on Twitter all the time.
Right, right. Yep.
Yes. Sometimes the hot takes don't go over quite as well.
I just start watching what I say. That's my problem, that I don't watch what I say. Maybe that's why I get views on my channel sometimes, because people know I'm just going to say something crazy.
Oh my God. So we open tonight. Paul Heyman demanding from Caleb Braxton, what is up with these rumors? What is going on? We need answers. I mean, I get it. He's concerned about Brock coming back. Reigns, like, throwing, firing shots at Big E after beating him. It was interesting how they hyped this up. I mean, look, they have hot opening segments. Tonight was a tough, tough show. But what did you think of this opening?
I love the opening. I don't know if Paul Heyman, like, just because of the last match we saw between Roman and Brock, the it was gray. It was a gray area of who Paul is with. So I'm starting to wonder if he's overplaying this, what's going on with Brock, because he is still on Brock's side, because we never found out whose side he's really with, right? In addition to that, I love the trash talk by Roman Reigns. He goes like, let them all win. Let four of them win. Let five of them win. I'm going to beat them all. And it's almost too real what Roman Reigns is saying out there in the ring, because you take a look at, you're looking at that battle royal, and tell me anybody that looked like they could beat Roman Reigns in that battle royal. There wasn't. Maybe Drew McIntyre, if he decided to use that sword, maybe he stood a bigger chance, but nobody in that battle royal looked like they could beat Roman. And I don't think Roman is getting stale. I think that they have to give him an interesting storyline. And him beating somebody that becomes number one contender in a battle royal is not a story that you'll become invested, even if you know he's winning in the end.
Okay, aside from the Paul Heyman factor, I think Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns is going to be a much more entertaining feud than Brock versus Roman for the 100th time.
Yes. Yes, I think Sami Zayn could try to make this fun. But do I think Sami Zayn has a chance against Roman Reigns? No.
Does anyone?
I'm sorry. I know. Who runs the Illuminati? Maybe that person.
That which goes to my point. This is the problem with SmackDown. They have not done a good job building contenders. They bring in Brock and they're like, oh, well, this is instantly a very credible match. It's like, okay, what do you got to follow that up? What's after that?
Nothing follows Brock Lesnar up. You just did John Cena and Brock Lesnar, and now you want to follow it with Sami
SmackDown
Zayn.
Goes off the air. SmackDown's like, you know what? We had a good run. Let's end it on a high note. We can't top this.
You know what? I'm not going to – I know you're a big Sami Zayn fan, and we're skipping to the end a little bit, but I'm not going to tell you that I was sad when Jeff Hardy – when it looked like Jeff Hardy won. I think Jeff Hardy will be fun, sure. And the crowd is behind him, and I think one final title – feud, but I don't think anybody in that battle royal had a chance. So Roman's trash talk on the beginning of the show was almost a little too real, because he's right, nobody's gonna beat him. Nobody.
I was already in my head bracing myself for Roman's promos about Jeff Hardy's personal troubles, and then that was gonna be really awkward given some personal troubles on Roman's side of the faction.
Hey, let's not okay, but that's still the holidays.
I know, but this is what they do. When's the last time there was a Jeff Hardy feud that they gave any attention to where they didn't go there?
So what was next?
Yeah, exactly. And I love Jeff Hardy. Like, I love Jeff. And I think it's disrespectful to him that WWE does this again and again and again. I mean, it's like, Jesus Christ. So Jeff Hardy, speaking of Jeff Hardy, teaming with Drew McIntyre against Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin.
Did it feel very thrown together, this match?
It did indeed. And Jeff Hardy and Drew McIntyre got that win, though. And I was thinking, maybe they become a tag team? I mean, I like Drew, I like Jeff. But we've been hearing, like, I can't remember if this is fantasy booking or Haven't there been rumbles like, oh, they're going to do something with Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy's in line for, like, so I was thinking, so I, like, that's why they swerved me. I was like, Jeff Hardy won this match. He's going to get this program with Roman. It's going to happen. Maybe it's his swan song. Maybe this is sort of his last big run, you know, when he goes to a schedule more like Edge. So I was happily swerved, and I love Sammy getting the heat at the end of the show, but yeah. I could see Jeff teaming with Drew after this tonight.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think Jeff Hardy is so beloved. And this is not just because we're in North Carolina. People really love Jeff Hardy. I think a tag like team will be a good team, but I just don't see them wasting Drew McIntyre on a tag team right now because you have such a lack of single stars on SmackDown. Like, who's next for Shinsuke? Think about it. We don't even know who's next for Roman. We don't even have a next for Shinsuke Nakamura and the IC belt. So it wouldn't make sense to take those two guys and put them in a tag team when they're two of the biggest names you have to go up against your champions.
What's next for Shanky? That's what everyone really wants to know.
A rap career?
I'm still pissed off about Hit Row being cut. I'm still pissed off about that promo with Jinder and Shanky against Hit Row. Like, that's, I'm not going to let that go for quite some time.
Right. Right, same. I don't think a lot of people are going to let it go. And the fact that that's our last impression of Hit Row. Oh, my God.
It's like if they done the Bailey, This Is Your Life segment, and then Bailey was released the next day. Like, oh.
Oof.
Yeah.
I miss Bailey.
I miss Bailey as well. Kayla Braxton becoming a main player in this drama. Backstage talking to Aaliyah. Aaliyah gets a cameo tonight. Paul Heyman walks up, wants... Kayla better confirm those rumors or else she's gone. Okay. This was surprising. Cesaro versus Ridge Holland. Think, oh, they're giving Ridge a little bit of a push, and Cesaro won the match.
That surprises you?
Yeah,
does it really surprise you?
Because, okay, Ridge Holland gets calls up. Ridge Holland gets all these promos. The alliance with Sheamus, Cesaro's former tag partner. It seems like, okay. Like, look, I think Ridge Holland's character is not great. I'm just going to put it that way.
I agree.
Not great, like supremely not great. But it seemed like they were giving him a little bit of a shot, right? Because why do you give somebody this time and this? And you, it goes back to the thing, like, why can't we get new talent over? Because you've got Cesaro, who did not need a win, beating Ridge pretty handily tonight.
Yeah, I'm not surprised though. Like, I don't know what they're doing with these people that they called up from NXT. I don't have any faith on them booking them right, especially after the last round of releases. It's just what they have proven to us that is going to happen. Cesaro, I don't know. Yeah, Cesaro didn't need this win, so I'm very confused by this booking, but overall, I'm not shocked by it. Confused, yes. Shocked, no.
Rick Boogs took on Angel tonight.
Yes. Because they have more matches for Boogs than the Intercontinental Championship. Okay.
Why won't they just
Who technically speaking won for SmackDown.
Beat Damian
Priest. But Roman
Priest.
Failed to mention that, right? Roman acted like he was the only one who won from SmackDown, but Shinsuke won by DQ. So Boogs the other champion did rep.
Boogs versus Nakamura is going to be a hell of a feud, and I don't know if we're ever going to get it at this point.
I don't want it.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't want it. I don't want Shinsuke to then Shinsuke will probably lose to Boogs, and then what do they do with him? Don't you fear that? Shinsuke is to me what Sami Zayn is to you, okay?
I love it. In fact, Shinsuke versus Sami Zayn in the top three wrestling matches I've ever seen in person.
Of all time. Yeah.
Of all time.
I was there too. You were there?
I was there. It was at Dallas Takeover, yeah.
What a small world,
good.
Huh?
So, well, it is WrestleMania. There were 100,000 people there, Issa, wrestling fans.
Right, but I mean that you were at the shows that I was, or you were traveling to shows when I wasn't, and now that I am, you don't go to the shows. So it's just funny how everything works. Now that we work together, I don't see
it. I know. Well, I'll tell you, I got my booster earlier this week, and I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling good. And, you know, a little concerned about Omicron, this new variant. But if things let up, I love that Impact is running all these shows here in Vegas.
Yes.
Like, that really excites me for the future. If and when this
pandemic. Yeah, because it's like right there. You can go and at least go get back into a wrestling event.
Yeah, absolutely. So Angel won this match. Was Lotharios on the come up?
And he lost his last name.
Yes.
Just Angel. Just Angel.
Okay, and this was freaking weird that we saw so much tonight of we'll talk about it, but I mean, we saw Survivor Series, the recap, but we'll talk about what happened later, where they gave us like a 5-minute Raw recap. SmackDown has not done this in ages. It was very weird.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, but I think it was just a little bit of time filler. They might not have a bunch booked for tonight. Just I didn't think they were going to try tonight, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, no, I could see that. Let's talk about Charlotte Flair and the promo she cut tonight. Talking about her loss to Becky and then getting called out by Toni Storm. So this ended with Flair beating up Toni, but I mean, they're kind of trying to make this.
I mean,
like
Toni is the new number one contender, no? Didn't Toni earn a shot at the title?
Did she? I thought she just challenged
her. Yeah, she did.
Her.
Okay. No, well, whatever. One way or another, Toni should be the next one for Charlotte Flair. So I like seeing her come out. But at the same time, I mean, Charlotte looks like a million bucks, and Toni Storm just not being heavily featured on TV just seems a little out of place in this field right now. I'm hoping that this gets her somewhere, but I'm not convinced. If it was like a Sasha Banks or Chelsea or people that we have at least seen more prominently on TV, then maybe it will be different. But Toni just doesn't feel like she's the one right now.
Charlotte had the Roman problem long before Roman had the Roman problem, is that when Charlotte is the champ, it seems like she's gonna be the champ for a very long time.
And I don't see that. I'm gonna have to disagree with you, Glenn. She loses the title in 5 minutes after she wins it.
I thought that was
Charlotte is no. Charlotte is quantity over quality. Charlotte Flair loses the title. They're just trying to beat that her dad's record with her.
When's the last time Charlotte lost a title match to someone that wasn't Becky or Sasha?
She lost to Rhea Ripley, no? And she lost to Nikki A.S.H. with the cash-in.
Oh, that's she lost with the cash-in. When she lost to Rhea?
I don't know if she lost to Rhea or not. I'm trying to figure it out, but... No, I'm sorry. She took the belt off of Rhea.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Even with Asuka, yeah. Didn't Charlotte beat Asuka every time for the title?
It was like a back and forth between the two of them, no? But yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
But
like,
Charlotte
just
has very short title reigns.
Yes.
She does. So well, maybe it's because she's also the victim of like almost every freaking cash-in.
I would bet a considerable amount of money Toni Storm does not win this feud.
I would be presently surprised if she did, but I don't see that happening. Not right now. Charlotte looks like $1 million out there.
Yes. I'll bet someone my car. My car is like 18 years old, but we could go for pinks, as they used to say in the 50s, on whether if someone feels that confident about Toni Storm winning this feud. Because I don't see it happening. So I like this promo backstage with Sasha standing up to Sonya. And Sonya, like, again, Sonya keeping the trend going, telling Sasha that she's the
boss.
Yeah,
there's like,
there's a theme.
Yeah, there's a theme here with Sonya Deville, but I absolutely love seeing Sasha stand up to her. And I loved even more later on when we saw Sasha teaming up with Naomi for good old time's sake. I enjoyed the crap out of this.
Yeah. Bandy Jack Boss is saying these egg crates have not moved in my office. I did go through some boxes before Thanksgiving. I was trying to find where we put the nonstick pans and I couldn't find them. So I did move some things around.
So that's the only reason why I'm trying to find your nonstick pans.
I told you what happened where my handwriting is so bad. I labeled all these boxes. I can't figure out what I wrote on most of them, but then I wrote like t-shirts and I didn't specify like, is this, you know, an old like Social Outcast wrestling shirt box, or is this t-shirts that I actively wear and that fit me? Did not do the best job with labeling things before the move. I really should have wrote like a legend or something with a packing list.
Been there, done that. I'm the kind of person that just throws everything out when I move and buy everything new.
we did do that with a fair amount of stuff. So much so that when our house was being cleaned out after, they were like, did you mean to leave all this stuff behind?
Yeah, they like, called you and be like, are you sure you didn't want to take this?
I was like, I couldn't figure out how to disassemble the desk to get it through the door. I'll just buy a new desk. Like, just donate it. Do something. See that? I was going to have to take an axe to it. So Naomi and Sasha Banks team tonight versus Natalia and Shayna Baszler. And Naomi and Sasha got the win.
Finally, Naomi gets a win. And I just love seeing her with Sasha. It just brings me back to their team. Remember when they tagged with Todd, were together back in the beginning? Yeah. So I love seeing them together. And I'm so happy to see Naomi finally get some kind of win, because I was getting scared that this was never going to pay off and she was just going to continue to lose here.
Team Bad, who had the Street Profits theme before the Street Profits.
Yes. Damn, you're good. That's a fun fact.
And they tried to make that Unity thing happen. They tried to make them like a female New Day for a very brief period of time.
Yeah, but it didn't work out.
It did not work out. Oh my God, that was like 5 years ago, because that was around Thanksgiving, like 2015, maybe. That was 6 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, 2015, when they came up. They put up only the weird tag team, remember? Yeah.
I remember they had like a Thanksgiving segment with New Day backstage, and they were doing the Unity chant thing.
Yeah, it went a little like this. Unity!
Yes. Why didn't that catch on?
I don't know. I still remember it, so it catched on with someone.
Brie Mode caught on. Oh, but God. That didn't catch on. Do you know what I watch?
Wrestling theme song ever.
You know what I watch once a year, what? And it just gives me delight. Someone made an endless loop. Remember at SummerSlam 2015 when Brie Bella tried to do the drop kick and like missed Becky Lynch by like a foot and yelled Brie Mode, and the commentary went Brie Mode after.
Wait, that exists? A loop of that exists?
I have to find. I saved it on my phone. I actually like figured out how to rip the YouTube video to save this on my phone. So Brie Mode got over. Unity didn't get over, but Brie Mode was hella over back in the day. I'm gonna find this now because it just brings me such joy. And while Issa is there muting the noise in the background of
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm with family. You know, I'm being diesel this week.
Well, it's all good. Oh, I need to find this. Where is it? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to turn up the sound on this. Okay. Oh, hold on. I have to turn on the sound.
Why? Oh my God. Please send that to me. Yeah,
I gotta make that my ringtone.
No.
I think about this so often.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of crazy wrestling moments that everybody just thinks about way too often, right?
Yes. Which is crazy that
makes sense to us wrestling people.
Well, because I was thinking about this, and when you watch the show week in and week out like we do, like it is the little memes and fun moments and like stupid commentary things and inside jokes. I mean, that's why we watch, right? It's
exactly.
Not for like deep, satisfying storytelling, you know?
I mean, that's a part of it, but there is a part that, yeah, there is a meme. Or like the inside jokes are the best, because sometimes somebody will make a reference out of something that you will never think we can connect to wrestling, but we can because of some dumb segment.
And I love Brie Bella, but that moment, just because they clipped it and looped it that way and it's got that weird like sing-songy rhythm to it, like I'm just like, that's one of the better wrestling memes that I've ever seen in
the
my
way,
life.
The way she missed Becky Lynch by a lot. I hate when people in wrestling have to sell for moments like that where you can just tell it's so obvious.
Even Charlotte and Becky had one of those with the moonsault this past Sunday. It happens.
That was
happens.
Still a great match, though.
Yeah, everyone misses spots. It happens. It doesn't ruin your enjoyment of it. But good for Naomi and Sasha Banks. I like to see the story continue to evolve. But again, really, man, like how long do we have to wait to see Naomi beat up Sonya Deville? Because that's what I'm here for.
Exactly. You know? Same. I just need her to whoop Sonya's ass, and we'll get there. I hope. Tonight gave me hope.
we're gonna get there eventually. So the lengthy recap of Monday Night Raw, something must have been running under. They were like, just put on a recap of Raw.
And it ended 2 minutes early as well.
Yeah, it was interesting. So the Battle Royal, the Black Friday Invitational Battle Royal, was Sami Zayn, Eric, Ivar, Angel, Humberto, Mace, Mansoor, Cesaro, Ricochet, Drew Gulak, Rick Boogs, Jinder Mahal, Shanky, Madcap Moss, Baron Corbin, Jeff Hardy, Ridge Holland, and Sheamus. This
bunch of people that don't have a chance against Roman Reigns. Yes.
When it got down to Sheamus and Baron Corbin and Ricochet and Jeff Hardy and Sami Zayn, it was like, okay.
You think Ricochet has... Okay, Glenn.
Ricochet, okay, because this trip. Ricochet, movie star looks, one of the best in-ring athlete performers ever in the history of wrestling. When you just look at what he can do.
Yes, agreed. The way that somebody performs. Tweeted a photo of him doing that dive, and he's like up here, and the guys are like down here waiting to catch him, and it's so impressive. The things that he can do are so impressive.
But if you ever want to know, if someone ever says, well, how important is it to be able to cut an amazing promo? Ricochet is your answer.
Yeah, very important. But you can also put him with a mouthpiece, and they never gave him that opportunity.
They never gave him a mouthpiece, and they never gave him good material. So it's not entirely on him. But we said this, you know, I was saying this 3 years ago. If I'm WWE, forget the PC. I'm hiring, like, acting coaches and people to come in and work with this guy. And I'm figuring out what's the storyline. What's wrong? Like, Ricochet is, like, 20% responsible for Ricochet not being a top guy. I put the other 80% in WWE because when you have someone that talented and who has all the other parts, like, why, you know, in fact, it probably hurt him coming in being an established indie star. If he'd been a brand new Performance Center recruit, he would have had to go through the paces. I think he got a pass. I think he got passed through promo class partially because he was so good in the ring.
Yeah. But I mean, he already came to NXT just being able to do all these amazing things that he does on the ring, and they just automatically make him wrestle all these crazy matches that, like you said, he might have never even gone to promo school.
Yeah, it's a so big
that,
mistake.
That hurts him, and then you called him up when he's not main roster ready by promo standards, and you don't give him a mouthpiece. There's so many people that need a manager. That will be one of them. I feel like, okay, we love the pairing of, like, Boogs and Nakamura, but Nakamura has all the charisma in the world. You could have given Boogs to somebody else. You know what I mean? So, whatever.
I know. But Jeff Hardy eliminated Baron Corbin. We thought he had the win. Crowd went wild. Sami Zayn had just been hiding, laying in wait, and then knocks him over. Celebrating Roman, the Usos, the crowd booing. This was like just a straight up delightful moment in WWE. This was one of the most feel good moments in a long time. And then Caleb Braxton.
Especially because everybody has been wanting more for Sammy. The whole thing was just played beautifully.
Yes. And then Caleb Braxton says, oh, I just got word. I don't think she even had an earpiece in, but she's like, oh, I just got word.
Yeah. And she took forever, too. You could tell they were running early tonight because she took forever to hear her fake, earpiece to then say what the news were. And like I said, they still ended it early. But it was just like that you had to say that in the middle of the interview. Like, you couldn't just announce it in a graphic or on social media like you do everything else.
So weird. So Brock Lesnar suspension lifted. He's going to be back next Friday. Crowd chanting, we want Brock, because they went off the air. By the way, this is also shows you something about WWE crowds. Oh, we love Jeff Hardy. Yay, Jeff Hardy. Boo, Sami Zayn, you suck. What? Brock Lesnar's coming back. We want Brock.
Of course, but can you blame them? Come on, it's Brock Lesnar. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of Beastie, but I'm just saying. I think a lot of people assumed that Beastie was going to come back in the Battle Royal, and they were probably unhappy about that. But I was like, they're not gonna, I mean, yeah, it will be an organic nice moment, but it wouldn't feel like a real return because Brock was just around. So I don't see them having Brock come back unadvertised. They're not gonna do that.
You know, I could have seen them having Brock come in and just destroy everybody in the Battle Royal.
No, not unadvertised. No.
Yeah, I know. They're not gonna waste.
Because it's not a big return. He's been gone what, 3 weeks? It doesn't feel like a real return for Brock. Like, if he was gone for months, then I would like to see it be a surprise. But he hasn't been gone that long for it to just need to be made a surprise, in my opinion, right? Like, I think ticket sales and ratings are more important. And I don't think the Friday after Thanksgiving, when everybody's either passed out from leftovers or out shopping or with family, they're not watching, it's not the show to bring him back.
I agree. So, but tonight's podcast, as always, was a must listen. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all of this. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. It's a weird time. It continues to be just a weird freaking time in the world right now.
This is going to be a very slow, not only in the world, like you said, but I feel wrestling this month is probably the worst, like not the worst time, but it's a very slow time, like storylines wise. This is when you see a bunch of people become number one contender that don't make any sense. Like, you know what I mean? I'm surprised we're getting Edge return on Raw and now Brock on SmackDown in December. This is the times that I consider WWE to slow down until at least Royal Rumble season starts again.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll be back here. The regular crew will be back on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. Let's talk about NXT. Oh, what is Tony D'Angelo going to do?
Something awesome. I wonder how his Thanksgiving. I bet he had a great Thanksgiving.
We should find out. We should do an update. I like, okay, hear me out on this. I'm kind of bummed he's in the War Games match. Tony D'Angelo is better than that. He needs a singles opportunity for a title.
I get it, but with the special being called War Games, at least they're putting him in the main event, right? So, I mean, it's something.
Okay, we'll see.
I agree with you. You know, I want nothing but the world for Tony D'Angelo, so War Games is not to his standards.
I know, and we'll see how he interacts with the other wrestlers. This will be kind of fun. We'll see. So, hey, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care, everyone. Good night.